it's about execution. They definitely got a skill set. You know, they added Deshaun Jackson. Evans was already a factor. You know, they added O.J. Howard, which is a, you know, 250-pound guy that runs 4.5, so he's got that kind of talent. You know, Jameis can be a problem, you know, keeping him in the pocket. He can extend downs. We saw a couple of times that happen in our game last week. So that's an area we have to do a good job, both containing the quarterback as well as plastering in coverage when he does extend downs. So they present a lot of problems. I mean, it's that way every week.
Hicks was the main guy in the Atlanta game, but they have all four of those outside linebackers. Goldman up front. They've got a front seven that's built to play power football, and they try to knock you back. Not only in the run game do they try to knock you back, but they have guys that are tall and slippery with long arms on the edge. So they can push the pocket, they can rush you on the edge. They haven't had the pressure very much because they're one of those teams that can get pressure just with their front four.
Cheers, Bears fans! Welcome to Bears on Tap. I am Aldo Gandia, and this is our weekly look at the Chicago Bears' upcoming opponent. This week, the boys in navy blue sail down to Tampa Bay to duel the Buccaneers. You just heard the team's two head coaches, John Fox and Dirk Cutter, offering up assessments of their opponents. In 2 minutes, we'll talk to Mike Pless of RealBucksTalk.com, and he'll give us an indication of what the Bucks have in store for the Bears. And then later, my buddy John Buffone stops by to talk about his and our beloved Chicago Bears. An opening thought first. Back in 1981, I attended the Bears-Bucks game at Soldier Field. I remember being grumpy because the Bucks had only been in the league 5 seasons and they already had 2 playoff appearances. I have been a Bears fan for almost 3 times that amount of time, and already this new team in the league had as many playoff games as the Bears had in those 14 years that I was following the Monsters. This despite the fact that the Bucks began their franchise history losing their first 26 regular season games. Now, I remember that 1981 game in late September. The day was gloomy and rainy, and that just added to my grumpiness. But by the end of the game, I was happy as the Bears pulled out a 28-17 win. I don't remember much about the game other than Jeff Fisher running back a punt for a touchdown. Now, by the end of the season, though, I was grumpier than ever because the Bears would end up in last place and the Bucks in first place of that old NFC Central Division. If history sort of repeats itself this year and the Bears wind up in last for another John Fox season, then hopefully we'll see a new coach next year, just like the Bears did back after that 6-10 1981 season. In 1982, that was the year that George Halas brought in Mike Ditka. Now, I know what you're saying. It's too early to talk about coaching changes. The Bears are only 0-1, and that loss was a close game to the NFC defending champs. But I got to tell you something. Just recently, draft Dr. Phil Atoshin said to Shane Marsaw and me in a text exchange when we were debating a topic, and Phil wrote, "There are only 16 of these guys, 16 games." He then went on to make his point regarding the topic that we were discussing, but those words just echoed in my mind for days and still do. There are only 16 of these, 16. The football season is fleeting. In the sporting world, for football diehard fans, each loss is a lot closer to death than it is like in baseball, where after each loss, you can say, we'll get them tomorrow. John Fox has to stop killing me. He's got to start making better decisions on game planning, player usage during the game, sideline decisions on challenging plays, and adjusting to unscouted looks. We as fans have to demand better. I demand that Fox coach his best game down in Tampa and begin to alleviate my concerns that his best days as a coach are long gone. I demand that if the Bears lose, he not face the media with vague excuses and some responses that are just blatant lies. And I demand that he demand the absolute best of his players, because I'm tired of feeling grumpy on Sunday afternoons. All right, as promised, it's Mike Plus of RealBucksTalk.com. Mike, thanks very much for being on the show. How are things down in Tampa after that terrible hurricane?
They're going well. I mean, we're just everything is a lot better than, you know, what we thought originally, because we thought it was going to be more worse than what it was actually. So we're just thankful that, you know, there wasn't it wasn't as bad as everyone thought it was going to be. And everyone's just trying to, you know, get back to normal schedule, and we're on our way. So and thankfully we have football this Sunday. So we're excited about that.
That's going to help quite a bit. Mike, I discovered your site because you were posting some tape of the Chicago Bears and providing some commentary on Twitter. And I thought that some of the stuff that you were, all of the stuff that you were posting was very insightful. Clearly, you know the game of football. And let me tell you, based on what you have seen of the Chicago Bears, what impressed you most about what they are doing as a football team?
I think you got to start with the Bears front seven. I mean, it is very they have a lot of skilled players up front, starting with Akeem Hicks. I thought he was absolutely dominant last Sunday. He was probably their best player on the field, in my opinion. I mean, he really took it to the Falcons offensive line, which was pretty impressive, because the Falcons offensive line, in my opinion, is one of the better lines in the league. And it was the reason that the Bears were in that game, throughout the whole game. So I thought that was very impressive. Just their whole front seven. Eddie Goldman looked very good, finally healthy. Leonard Floyd, again, just the way they can use him as a linebacker, but also as an edge rusher. So I thought the defense for sure was really impressive, and just how they really commit to stopping the run first, and they try to put, you know, opposing offenses in predictable situations. So I thought they did a really good job of that. As far as the offensive side of the ball, I think there's things that, you know, they have to be really creative just because of their wide receiver skill set that they have on the outside. I mean, there's frankly, there's not much there, but they do a good job of, you know, creating different route combinations. And I thought Glennon did a good job when he was able to get the ball out quickly. And especially get the ball to Tariq Cohen, who is just an absolute stud. I mean, he looked really good. So, you know, very impressive as far as what they put on film.
One of the things that you pointed out in your tape review was Glennon's lack of ability to successfully do play action. Do you recall that? And if so, please share with our audience your view on that.
I was probably a little too harsh. I mean, I think, again,
No, you weren't.
I mean, I think what happened was on those plays, I thought the Falcons, they did a really good job of just anticipating that. And again, it wasn't properly executed. But again, he is a statue quarterback. He has to be in the pocket. Again, on those design bootlegs, he was a little slow, it looked like, as far as getting out there. And being a little bit more quicker with his decision making, just trying to execute that play a little bit better, and maybe try to stay away from that. Maybe have him on a sprint rollout instead of having his back turn. I think that would be more beneficial for him. But again, you know, trying to keep him in the pocket is where he's best at, where he doesn't have to move too much. But if you get him moving, you can see where the struggles occur.
Well, this is what head coach Dirk Koetter said about Mike Glennon.
Well, I've said all along, I think Mike's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. And from where I sat, I mean, I'm not coaching their team, but I thought he gave them an excellent chance to win the game. Let's not forget they were going against the NFC champions. And, you know, if just one play goes a little bit different there at the end, they win that game, and had multiple opportunities to win the game. So, you know, Mike knows our defense well. Mike's a very accurate passer. He's an excellent leader, and it didn't surprise me one bit that even though he was new to the team, they elected him as a team captain. And, you know, we're looking forward to competing against him. We wish Mike well all season, but not this Sunday.
Mike's big problem, of course, is the pass rush. Where is that pass rush coming from with Tampa Bay? Who are their big-time pass rushers?
Well, I think obviously you got to start with Gerald McCoy. I think he is their best player on defense, and he really gets everything going with his presence and his ability to, you know, disrupt and penetrate. So it all starts with number 93 for us, and then obviously, you know, second year player Noah Spence. I think they're depending on him to take that next step, that next jump in his career, and try to hopefully he can make that kind of, you know, Vic Beasley type of jump that, you know, take that next step into elite pass rushing, you know, status. I think him, and then also you have Robert Ayers, who's a decent veteran pass rusher. And then Jacque Smith, who unfortunately hasn't been able to stay healthy. So if he's on the field, his presence is also very good because he is an excellent pass rusher when he's on the field. So I think those guys that I mentioned, along the side, the fact with our linebackers in Quan Alexander and Levante David, who can blitz off the edge. So you're going to see a multitude of different looks and fronts. I know Mike Smith wants to do more 3-4 looks to, you know, try to confuse opposing offenses. So there's a couple options there.
I'm going to play a clip from last year's game that Chicago Bears fans are going to hate. Listen to this.
Cutler with the pressure and picked off again. My goodness. Cutler with two interceptions in a row, and it's the former Bear Chris Conte.
Right, get Zach Miller, who is going to run the submarine. He's going to go across. So Zach Miller here is going to run the submarine route to the backside of a bootleg naked. Sure enough, Chris Conte was able to, again, play inside leverage, cover it, make a break on the ball, and come away with another key interception for this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense.
Now, this is what Cutter said about that play and how transformative it was for the team. And also, at the end here, he comments on the fact that he got whacked in the face, I guess, pretty hard by Chris Conte on the celebration. So let me play that soundbite from Coach Cutter.
Yeah, I think not only for Chris, but for our defense and for our team, that one single play might have been the turning point of our season. I mean, you never know exactly, but it sure didn't hurt. And I'll gladly take a shot to the eye every Sunday if it's a pick six. That's good.
Now, Chris Conte is not a fan favorite here in Chicago. We do not miss him, and apparently he doesn't miss Chicago very much either. But what's been the fan reaction to his play in Tampa?
With the fans, I mean, he's kind of been mixed reaction. I personally think he's one of our better safeties. You know, Lovie Smith, when Lovie Smith was here, it just didn't really click for him. But I think since being in Mike Smith's defense and what Mike Smith is able to do as far as getting players in there best position to succeed, I think he's done a really good job as being that kind of free safety, but also ability to just rover around a little bit more and be more free as far as getting into those passing lanes. I think he's been a pretty good addition for us.
Now, in your tape review that you posted on Twitter, and I will provide a link for that for our audience on our podcast page, talked about Tariq Cohen and his ability to cut back. How are the Bucs against the run? Are they good at preventing those types of cutbacks and avoiding big runs against them?
Well, last year, I mean, we kind of struggled against the run, but it was more up the middle where we struggled. And as far as containment, I thought we did a pretty decent job last year. Now, again, that's going to be huge in this week's game, I think, just to able to contain when Cohen's in the game, you know, because you got to make him go inside, because when he gets on the edge, I mean, he is very dangerous just in open space. But again, you have Jordan Howard, who is really good inside runner. So yeah, that's definitely going to be the key as far as, you know, whoever's going to win this game. I think whoever's able to run the ball is going to have that upper hand as far as, you know, winning the game outright. So I think we have the players in place to do it. But again, it's about execution. You have to go out there and actually do it. So, you know, I have a story up on realbucks.com about that as far as containment, you know, just making sure you're not over pursuing. You saw that happen to Brooks Reed for the Falcons, and you know, Cohen just went right around the edge and got a big play out of it. So yeah, it's very critical.
Yeah, it's also going to be interesting to see how he does after now opposing coaches have tape on him and have seen how the Bears use him. And it also be interesting to see how offensive coordinator changes things up a little bit and perhaps uses Cohen a little bit differently. I want to talk now about quarterback Jameis Winston. This is what defensive coordinator Vic Fangio said about Winston at a press conference Thursday.
I'm seeing the same player, just he's a little bit better at everything. He's throwing the ball a little bit more accurately. He's got great pocket feel. He's very a confident player. I see an excellent quarterback.
You know, Jameis is getting better. He's progressing right along, and I think the big thing for him that they've preached to him is just patience, because the guy is a gunslinger. He likes to make big plays, and again, it's just for him. He's got to learn how to let plays go, and I think this year you'll see that, and hopefully he can limit those turnovers, because that's really what's stopping him from being an elite quarterback.
Well, Winston on Thursday was asked by the media about those turnovers that he's had problems with in his first 2 years, and this is how he responded.
Most of those early turnovers were me trying to do too much, or me trying to be the hero. This is a team game, and definitely with the weapons that we have now, we're going to be able to take advantage of every opportunity that we get, you know. So I'm getting better every single day. You know, I'm not perfect. No one in here is.
He certainly does sound like a more mature and savvy quarterback. And down there in Tampa, you guys love him, right? I mean, he's such a charismatic guy, isn't he?
Coming out of Florida State, I think, you know, just his overall reputation with, you know, the mistakes he had at Florida State. But again, he was so young. I mean, 18 years old. And I think just his time in Tampa, I think he's really matured, especially with the leadership we have here and Derek Brooks and Tony Dungy and just their ability to, you know, just help him along the way. And he's got a lot of guidance by his side. And but yeah, I mean, he's definitely a fan favorite. And I mean, he's going to be a great quarterback in this league for years to come. So we're very excited to have him on our team.
Now, Vic Fangio also was asked about the tight ends on Tampa Bay, and he was very complimentary about the talents of Cameron Brait and O.J. Howard. This is what Fangio told the media.
They're good players, you know. The 84 has been a really good red zone player for them. The quarterback is very comfortable throwing to him. He's got great route instincts and route running ability. He's a very good catcher of the ball. Howard is a really good athlete with good size, good blocker, you know, and get down the field. You know, they got two really good weapons at tight end.
How has O.J. Howard looked in the preseason?
I think he's looked pretty good. I mean, especially as a blocker. I mean, he's probably our best blocking tight end, which is saying something as a rookie. He's just a traditional Y tight end. You know, they have your Y tight end, and then you have your F tight end. You know, your F tight end is usually like a Cameron Brait, who, you know, works in the slot as a move tight end. And then you have the traditional Y tight end, who's usually in line, kind of like Ron Gronkowski, you know, for the Patriots. So I think he's done very well. I think the Bucs are kind of hiding him a little bit in the preseason. I think you're going to see what he can fully do this Sunday. And I think that's definitely going to be a priority for the Bears defense to try to contain them in the passing game, because I think that's probably going to be our most used formation is that two tight end set for sure.
Yeah, on your Twitter posts, one of the videos that you shared was the Falcons using a double tight end set, and you commented that the Bucs would be well served to use their two tight end sets given their strength at that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it will definitely be one of the advantages that we'll have for this game. I think just when you have guys that can move like they do, and it presents issues. Unfortunately for the Bears, I mean, they lose their best tackler in Jarrell Freeman. I mean, that hurts for sure. So, but again, they have a great front seven. So, I mean, they can overcome it. That front seven brings it pretty much every play.
Now, let's talk a little bit about DeSean Jackson, the wide receiver. I read today that since 2009, he's ranked fifth in the league with almost 9,000 receiving yards. How is Jackson going to help the offense overall?
Yeah, I think Jackson, what he'll do is just he'll be able to open up everything for Mike Evans, and he'll be able to just spread the field. He'll be able to make more space for everyone in the passing game. He's going to really open it up for Jameis, and Jameis is going to be able to make a lot of more easier throws. By I mean easier, less contested. Guys are going to have more space just because of DeSean being able to draw attention and coverage, because his speed is probably second to none. And if you leave him one-on-one, chances are he's going to either beat you deep or he's going to get a big play somehow across the middle.
The Bucs' third-round pick, wide receiver Chris Godwin, was a big-time favorite of draft Dr. Philotoshin here at Bears Barroom. He, in fact, had him rated as his number one receiver. How has Godwin fared so far?
He looks like a veteran. I mean, he doesn't look like a rookie at all. Very mature player for only being 21 years old. Just has a very good head on his shoulders. He understands it from the neck up, which you look for in rookies. I mean, if they can understand the mental part of the game, usually they're going to be successful. So I've been very impressed with him. He's impressed the coaches. I would expect to see him on Sunday, probably in three wide receiver sets, or even if we go four wide. So he's definitely going to be a part of this offense, and I think he'll have a role definitely going forward.
Well, we have to talk about that other receiver on the team. probably is it safe to say that he's a top three receiver in the league?
Yeah, Mike Evans, I think by the end of this year, I think he could very well be probably the number one receiver in the league. He continues to get better each year, and he's just finding ways to add to his game, whether it's route running or finding ways to get yards after the catch. So he's very dedicated to his craft. And as long as he's healthy, I think he's going to have a terrific year, especially with the added pieces around him now in the offense. And he's not going to see as many double teams. So I think he's going to definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, and one of the things in watching him on Hard Knocks, you know, he just has a presence about him that, you know, he's the type of guy I want him on my team. You know, is a good locker room influence. He's a leader. He just has a really good head on his shoulders. He's a special player, no doubt about it. Now, I wanted to talk about the running game. You guys have sort of a three-headed running attack going now with Jacquizz mm-hmm. Rodgers, Charles Sims, and Peyton Barber. Can you give us a clue as to how perhaps a Dirt Cutter is going to use those three running backs in the football game?
I think what you're going to see is probably a lot of Jacquizz Rodgers. I think he's going to be our feature back for now. I think you're going to see Charles Sims probably mixed in as far as a change of pace back, used as, you know, that third down back, a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I think you're going to see all three. I think Peyton Barber will probably be used for, you know, short yardage situations, maybe even some goal line work. But I think you're going to see a nice little rotation between the three. But again, it depends on how the game's going, you know, who gets hot. And if one of them does get hot, I think you'll see him stick with that guy. But again, they all have their different roles and their specific traits that, you know, fit that role better than the others.
One of the things that Cutter said at the press conference is that he wants his team to commit six or fewer penalties in the game and to force two or more turnovers. Have penalties been a problem for the Bucs?
It used to be. I think we've gotten way better as far as our discipline and being just more aware of game situations. So, I think it's definitely improved. I know when Lovie Smith was here, it was definitely an issue. We had, you know, a lot of penalties, and now Dirk Cutter has just told him whenever you have a penalty, it's a setback, and it really is a drive killer. So I think they've done a better job as far as being more disciplined, and keeping it under six is a good number, and I would expect to see that. Hopefully we see that this Sunday. And I don't want to see penalties on either side. I just think it's a hazard to the game, you know, the game flow. So I like to see the refs stay out of it personally. So hopefully we see that this Sunday.
It's going to be 92 degrees Sunday. clearly that's going to hamper the Bears, who are not accustomed to playing a regular season game in weather like that. Do you think that how much will that weather impact the Bucs?
I think it will impact the Bucs just as far as hopefully they are in good shape. But again, we haven't played a game since that third preseason game, so it's been about 3 weeks now. You know, so conditioning is definitely a concern. There definitely probably will be cramping going on both sides, but I don't think it's an advantage. You know, I don't think there's any advantage or disadvantage for either side. I think both teams are going to probably struggle with it. But again, it's just about how you overcome it, how you fight through it. And I would expect both teams to be able to do that.
Well, Jameis Winston was asked about the weather and just the atmosphere that that he expects to see on Sunday, and this is what he said.
I expect it to be electric. You know, these fans need something to give them, a giddy up. You know, and I'm happy, especially with last year, us finishing strong at home, and the fans just saw how their involvement with crowd noise and how electric Raymond James was. Hopefully, it can be the same. You know, hopefully we can all just have a great Sunday and be excited about Tampa Bay Buccaneers football.
There's an aura around this team that it's on the threshold of something special. Is that safe to say?
I would say so. I mean, just the overall direction for the organization is definitely on the pointing up. It's just everything is going in the right direction. This team finally has the right coaching staff, the right front office. So there's just that good partnership, and we finally have stability as far as the team goes. I mean, we just had so many years where we're changing head coaches and guys just didn't work out, bad drafting, signing free agents that, just weren't the right fits. So finally we're making better decisions in the off season, and now we have coaches that are making players better. It's working right now, and I think you're going to finally see this team is definitely, I think, on the cusp of playoffs, and I think fans are expecting playoffs this season. If we don't make it, it would definitely be a disappointment for sure.
What do the my final question for you here is, what do the Bucks have to do to blow this game? Because as a Bears fan and doing a podcast for a Chicago audience, we really want to know what we're rooting for the Bucks to do wrong. What are they most likely to do wrong?
Yeah, as far as me looking at the game, there's definitely concern as far as our offensive line. I think just going up against that front seven, plus it's our first game, the Bears are going into their second game, and usually you see that most improvement from game one to game two, so that's definitely a concern. But as far as what we need to do to blow the game, I think it's going to start with turnovers and penalties. If we self-inflict our wounds, then I think the Bears would definitely be in good position to take advantage of it. But I would expect the Bears to play well. I think Mike Glennon had a strong game last week, and I expect him to, be accurate with the football. And if he has time, he can make things happen. But again, I think it's pretty much if the Bucks if they shoot themselves in the foot, then the Bears have every chance to win this game for sure.
Well, the Tampa Bay Bucks are very familiar playing against the Chicago Bears. I was reading on the Bucks website that the Bucks have played more games against the Chicago Bears than any other team in the NFL. So this is a rivalry, despite the fact we're no longer in the same division. The Bears have an edge in the season series, but that doesn't account for anything once they start playing on Sunday. Mike, you've been a great guest. Please tell our audience how they can follow you on Twitter and about your website.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow us at Real Bucks Talk. Check us out at realbuckstalk.com. We're just putting up a lot of great content right now. We're really going to get going here as the season progresses, trying to have, at least, five articles a week. And we do a lot of game tape breakdowns, so it's not just of, we're doing the Bears this week, but we'll have breakdowns of Vikings next week. It's just, pretty much who we're playing, and we try to break it down, on both sides and see what we're seeing and let you guys know. And then again, I also do a podcast called Buck What You Heard. So I'm on there with Gene Thomas, and it's Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. So if you want to check that out, you can. But yeah, I mean, it's just rocking and rolling now, and can't wait for Sunday for sure.
Well, lots of luck to you. I know all about having a startup website. We're in our third or fourth year. I know how the challenges behind it, but you know what? Yeah. Quality work is quality content is what makes a website popular, and you guys certainly have that. Good luck the rest of the way with your endeavors, and thanks very much for being on the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
As promised, John Buffone is with me. John, how are you doing?
Good, Aldo. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk about the first week of Bears football.
Well, tell me, what were your overall thoughts about the Bears-Falcons game?
I, you know, everyone, a lot of people were talking about, you know, they looked good, or they kept it close, or, you know, they were right on the door. And honest to God, though, Aldo, I'm tired of being okay with that. I got texts and I got tweets saying, hey, they kept it, they were in there till the very end. I don't want the 2017 season to be measured in wins, losses, and kept it closes. I'm tired of that. I want to be able to see a Bears team that can keep it close and then win the close games. And granted, there were some flashes of some improvement, but I'm just tired of seeing this and then all of a sudden just being ready to who's going to screw up. Where's the failing going to come in? And, you know, true to form, it happened. It reared its ugly head at the end.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what went wrong. And I want to begin with playing a soundbite from Bears offensive coordinator Dow Loggins. This was on Wednesday. He was asked by someone in the media how important is a quarterback's ability to create off script. And to that end, the reporter continued, how did you think that Mike did in those situations? This was Loggins' response.
Mike is a rhythm thrower. So he's different than, I'm assuming where the comments go or where the question's going. He's different in the way that he's a timing and rhythm thrower. He's going to throw it. He's going to take advantage of what the defense does. And if they're playing soft, he's going to take underneath throws. And he's going to be aggressive when it's time to take his shots. And it's important that we keep him clean in the pocket because he's not, in his words, a dual threat quarterback. You know, and he's going to win before the snap. He's going to know where what the coverage is, what the tails of the defense are, and that's how those are his strengths.
John, this was clearly a veiled question about why Glennon is starting and not Trubisky. And when I watched this game on Sunday, I've watched it a couple of times now, I saw a simplicity to this Bears offense that makes me wonder whether Trubisky's athletic skills wouldn't have outweighed what Loggins was talking about, you know, the experience at the line and the pre-snap reads and so forth. What are your thoughts about this situation at quarterback?
Well, when you look at what they did on offense, it was a very vanilla game plan, and it looked like it was something tailor-fit for a rookie to take over. It didn't look like it was meant for a veteran quarterback like Mike Glennon. It looked like something that you would give to a first-year quarterback. And quite frankly, I mean, it became predictable at some point what the Bears were going to try to do, and it was unfortunate that they didn't start taking some shots down the field until there was already a 10-point deficit. So I think that putting Glennon in there, they had a game plan, but it was so soft that I think at some point the Falcons defense almost knew what was coming.
Well, and making things worse for the Bears is we know the situation at wide receiver. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, in today's NFL, can a football team win consistently without a true number one wide receiver? And for that matter, given that the Bears are so banged up on offense, can they win without even a true number two? I mean, that's debatable whether they have a true number two, but is it possible to win with, basically what I'm asking, is it possible to win with this roster of wide receivers that we have?
The short answer is no. But I get, you have the tools there to keep it close, and we saw that in week one. The defense is playing well enough to keep it close. You're going to have some, you know, home run plays with Tariq Cohen, who I think is going to be a tremendous asset for this offense moving forward. But they don't have a guy that can, you know, blow the lid off of a defense. They don't have a guy that can nickel and dime you for 10, 12 receptions a game, such as a Wes Welker, a Julian Edelman kind of player. They don't have a guy that can go down the field and win the 50-50 balls like we used to see with Alshon Jeffrey. And in this case, the quarterback can't make up for it. You see other teams like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, they can make up for it in talent with, you know, substandard wide receiver play. The Bears don't have that right now. Glennon's not going to talent his way to a win. You put Trubisky in, you can't expect him to do it all himself with this receiving core. And it seems like any deficit is almost too much to overcome. 10 points seemed like a lot to overcome last week. And the, like I said, the defense is playing well enough, but we haven't seen this defense really turn the ball over like we've seen previous defenses do. So unless they're going to turn the ball over and put the offense in great field position on a consistent basis, which I don't predict is going to happen in the very near future, they're going to be in trouble. I don't think this receiving core has what it takes to win on a consistent basis. Yeah, you can get a couple, you can get one here, get one there, but it's not going to cut it on a consistent basis.
John, here in Chicago, Bears fans are excited that Tanner Gentry has been added to the 53-man active roster. I'm excited, too, because the guy in camp made some amazing catches. He's a vertical threat. He had this great career in college going downfield and catching the ball. But I'm very – he may not even be active this Sunday. And I'm very suspicious that he can come in and really make much of a difference, because I always wonder whether these young guys know the pass route tree very well. He stated during the week that he's never really caught many passes from Mike Lennon in training camp. He was always working with Trubisky, and so there's no chemistry there. If he does play Sunday, any chance that we might see something special out of this young man?
I mean, it's always possible when the talent's there, but like basically what you said is he hasn't had a lot of time to build any kind of chemistry with Mike Glennon. He hasn't caught a whole lot of passes from Glennon. He hasn't had a whole lot of – I mean, he hasn't had any experience when it comes to playing in a regular season game in the NFL. So can he get loose and make one big catch for, you know, 30, 40 yards, grab a touchdown and a long pass? Sure. Is he going to have a pivotal role in the Bears game plan? I don't see it this week. I mean, moving forward, you can see how he progresses, and we can take it from there. But as far as this coming week goes, it'd be great to see, and it's a great hope to have, and it's something that you can keep in the back of your mind, and it's something you can, you know, really wish for. But I mean, the odds are against that, at least in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'd love to see him come in on a second and one or a second and two at midfield, and then just heave him a bomb down the field, and hopefully he makes one of those circus catches that we saw in training camp. Now, I wanted to ask you about the run game. Because it is, to me, a little concerning. The run game was very effective, but the Bears ran the ball just 19 times versus the Vikings. 13 of them belonged to starting running back Jordan Howard. He had 8 of those in the first half. 5 of them came on that touchdown drive that closed out the second half. I am concerned that when you've got this power back, and I don't want to run him into the ground, but 13 carries for Jordan Howard, I don't think is enough. What do you think? Do you think the Bears should run Howard more often? And do you have concerns that the defense will consistently begin to stack 8 guys up on the line against him? What do you think about the running back situation?
Well, I think they need to see where this shoulder injury is going, or this ailment that's bugging him first. That might have played a little bit of a role last week. But not having any big-time receivers normally means more guys in the box to stop the run game. And the theory to that is to show that you can throw the ball to kind of keep the defense honest, but we don't know if they can do that. We don't know if they can really, you know, extend the offense or spread defenses out yet. So you'd like to see them run the ball more, because you'd think that'd be their strength, but you'd also like to see them roll a little play action into that. If they're stacking 8 in the box, you know, run a play action, maybe move the pocket, but that's more along the lines of Trubisky's talent than it is Mike Glennon. You're not going to see him rolling out, bootlegging, you know, maybe taking a couple runs himself. So that'd be more Taylor Fitcher to Trubisky. But you need to start throwing some wrinkles in, because if you just become one dimensional, you're not going anywhere. I mean, so you need to at least try to keep the defense honest. Maybe some misdirection, maybe a gadget play. But I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about throwing in all these wrinkles because they can't throw the ball down the field because they don't have a receiver, and I don't know if they have that much confidence in their quarterbacks. So I guess you want to play to your strengths, but eventually defenses are going to start stacking that box.
Well, and speaking of strength and defenses, the Bears' strength clearly is their defense. It's good to see them put a defense out there that Bears fans can be proud of. I wanted to ask you about Leonard Floyd. When the Bears drafted him, they were excited about his versatility, the fact that he could play the edge as a pass rusher. Georgia had him up and down the line, playing inside linebacker at times, and also dropping back into coverage. Sunday against the Falcons, we got a really good taste of Floyd in coverage, and it's great to have an outside linebacker who can drop back in coverage and be effective. But when it's also your best pass rusher, is that, in your opinion, the best use of his talents?
No, I think, I mean, it's a luxury to have a guy that can cover, obviously, and you want to be able to rush the passer. And I think this is going to be kind of a wait and see approach, kind of a game by game thing. If I have confidence in anybody on the coaching staff, I guess it would be Vic Fangio as far as how he can game plan. We'll see against Tampa Bay what they plan to do. But you'd like to see a little bit of more pressure against the quarterback. They had two sacks against Atlanta, but a couple of big pass plays really killed the Bears on defense. And you'd like to see a little more pressure at the quarterback. We'll see what Fangio dials up. Maybe this is he saw Atlanta's offense and saw that Floyd was better suited dropping in coverage, maybe against the Bucs or whoever down the road, he's going to say, all right, pin your ears back and go get the quarterback every time. I can't really form an opinion about this until I see two or three games to see what he intends to really do with Leonard Floyd. But, yeah, you'd like to see him try to get at the quarterback, since that seems to be what that's obviously his strength, and that's what the Bears drafted him for. So we'll see down the road. But I'm gonna give Fangio the benefit of the doubt right now.
Sounds fair. Now the Falcons offense just offered up just about every possible threat a team can throw at a defense. They got that strong and versatile run game, that power-packed passing game, and the Bears, with the exception of a couple of goof-ups, more than held their own. Am I wrong to believe that the Bears defense should have a similar, if not better, success against the Bucs and Jameis Winston? Or should we be wary, given Winston had 312 passing yards and two touchdown throws last year against the Bears?
I think they're going to have a better showing. If you remember the game last year, it was a complete mess. For God's sakes, Chris Conte had a pick six against the Bears. So, I mean, and then that big pass where Jameis apparently shook off the entire Bears roster and threw that big pass down the field. I think this is a revamped defense. I think they're a much improved defense. And like I said before, though, this is going to come down to turnovers. If there's one thing that Winston's known for, it's taking chances down the field and turning the ball over sometimes. So they have to capitalize on that if they can, because their defense or their offense needs all the help they can get. And if they can get a turnover deep inside Tampa Bay territory, or at least somewhat close to Tampa Bay territory, they're going to be in a much better chance to score some points, because I don't like seeing a long field in front of the Bears offense right now. So I think they're going to have a better showing of that, but they still got to deal with a lot of weapons on that Tampa Bay offense, and they have got to limit the home run balls. That killed them last week against Austin friggin' Hooper. So you got to be able to kind of rein in those long plays, and they got a couple of receivers that can really blow the lid off the defense.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Glennon talked this week about how anxious he is to play his former team, and that the game is a little bit special. He talked about his familiarity playing against that Bucs defense. He ran the scout offense when he was there. Now, who has the advantage Sunday? Is it Mike Glennon versus the Bucs defense, or the Bucs defense versus Mike Glennon?
Oh, it's the Mike Glennon revenge game everyone's talking about. I'm going to say the Bucs defense, simply because of you look at the Bears offense. I mean, the Bucs have to basically zone in on can we contain Howard, and can we keep Cohen from breaking loose. You're not overly worried about the quarterback position right now. You have no idea who's going to be playing wide receiver for them. But if you want to talk about the layoff the Bucs have had, I think that might have a little bit of an effect. I mean, some of these guys, some on the defense, like Quan Alexander, the linebacker, he sat out the third preseason game, obviously didn't play the fourth preseason game, and then they had their first game postponed. So he hasn't played, and a couple other guys are in the same boat, have not played in a month. It's been an actual month since they've had any type of gameplay, and you don't know how much these guys have been you know, focusing, and rightfully so, how much have they been focusing on football with all the stuff that's going on down in Florida? So how much practice time, how much time have they really been, you know, committing to this? And like I said, rightfully so, that's they should be focusing on things other than football down there. But if you want to talk about that, I think that might have an actual impact. But the Bears have to deal with Winston. They got to deal with Mike Evans, and now they got to deal with DeSean Jackson, a pair of capable tight ends. And all of a sudden, you got Jaquizz Rodgers probably coming in, wondering if he can show the Bears, hey, you should look what you had in Chicago, and all of a sudden, just, you know, cast it to the side.
Got any predictions?
Honestly, I like the Bears in this game, and obviously, but I think that they're going to find a way. The defense has to find a way to turn the ball over. If they don't get any kind of turnovers, then I think they're in trouble. But I think the defense is going to come through. They're going to put the offense in a position to score. I don't think it's going to be an overly high scoring game. And if it is, the Bears are in trouble because they can't really, you know, they can't really tack on the points. But I like the Bears in a 17-13 game, maybe even closer than that. But I think they do just enough to pull away from the Bucs, who obviously there's going to be a lot of emotions going on in Tampa Bay, and they're going to have some momentum on their side maybe. But I like the Bears, who've already had a tune-up game. This is Tampa's first game of the season. Some of these guys haven't played in a month. I like the Bears to maybe get out to a 10-0 lead and then hold off the Bucs in a late surge.
John, would you like to give out your Twitter address? Maybe some of our followers on this show will reach out to you.
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at JD Buffone. Middle name is Doug. It seems to be a family name. Sean Douglas Buffone, JD Buffone at Twitter. Give me a follow, and you'll see some very snarky comments during each Bears game, I assure you.
Sounds great. John, I really enjoyed talking with you. Your knowledge and passion for Chicago Bears football, I love it. We'll talk again very, very soon, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me on, Otto. I'll see you later.
All righty. Stick with me, listeners. I've got a final thought on the game and some reminders. This is going to be a tough matchup for the Bears. On offense, they'll be without their two starting wide receivers. They might go again without Kyle Long at guard, and their starting running back may be nursing an injured shoulder. On defense, their leading tackler is out for the season. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Bucs are the healthiest team in the NFL, and they're playing at home with what will be a fired-up crowd under a sweltering sun. But none of that matters. This Ryan Pace Bears team has had three off-seasons to build depth. Every general manager must build a team to withstand the obstacles that are facing the Bears. They have to win Sunday. Like John Buffone said, keeping it close is not an option. We don't want to be satisfied by that. And like draft Dr. Phil said, we only get 16 of these. Let's get out there and win number one. Now, stop by the website. Kieran Hall has a new post going up on Friday morning. On Thursday, we unveiled Kevin Schroeder's new feature where he grades out every Bears player performance. Take a look at that. We've been getting some very favorable comments on it, and that's a new feature that will go up every Wednesday or Thursday. Also, Chris Armstrong posted her second feature. I love the way she writes and her unique take on the Bears. And finally, make sure you tune in to Bears Hour Live on Monday, 9 p.m. Central. Draft Dr. Phil will share his comments on the Bucs game and answer your questions. That's our show. Remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.